Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio this fine April morning in 2024. Today I'm going to do an episode of our Interesting Times series and pass a few comments, draw a few connections about events in the news at the current time, and suggest what contextualisation is needed. Before I jump in, I should apologise for not podcasting for some weeks now, apart from broadcasting a couple of pieces of music. We have been very busy with just basic life stuff, and to be honest, I did find myself, when it came to current affairs, just banging the same old drum of homo homini lupus, man's inhumanity to man. It followed from this state of affairs that my resilience to the sheer horror of it all was being eroded. This indeed seems to be the mood of the times. More and more people are saying to me, I don't listen to the news, I know it's wrong, but I've turned my back on it because I can't stand it. This is a great temptation and I don't blame anybody for it, even though I do think that we do need as many people in the world as possible to look into the face of the horror if we're ever going to grow up as a species and climb out of this psychotic mess and into something more conducive to our prosperity and flourishing and joy and well-being and love. And the understanding that that which holds us has to be sustained too, and lovingly so. So this morning, as is my way, and because I need a good swear as I wake up to get me going, I put on the Radio 4 Today programme, which is the purest propaganda on the planet. For over 100 years, the BBC has honed the skill of sounding reasonable when really what they're pouring out is basically fascist propaganda. The Today programme is a marvel of the genre. Now, you might think that this language of mine is intemperate, but it's not. I ask you to look back over my series of several podcasts elucidating the main features of fascism, and which I think gives us a fairly good rounded description of what fascism was historically. This in turn indicates what we need to look for in current affairs and what we need to regard as red flags of danger in the events that unfold around us and in the proclamations of our governments, our would-be governments, our great and good and our fourth estate, both trad and tech, who control much of the flow of information. Then, I'm confident, you'll discover that the term fascism is entirely appropriate. And I'm going to use it throughout this podcast because basically it amounts to identifying some pretty horrible tendencies that I do believe we are justified in just in calling fascist. The news on Radio 4 Today this morning is that we are teetering on the edge of World War III. And this, they have got right. How so? Here's the story. Israel bombs an embassy, namely the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria, and kills a number of high-ranking military leaders from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. But note, some aspects of this are not new, and others are. For example, on the 3rd of January 2020, Qasem Soleimani, an Iranian major general, was killed by an American drone strike near Baghdad International Airport in Iraq, whilst he was travelling to do diplomatic business with the Iraqi Prime Minister. General Soleimani was thought to be the second most powerful man in Iran at the time. All this under the Trump presidency, which ironically had garnered some support by promising an end to foreign adventures. The context goes deeper. There's been a lot of tension in that part of the world for decades, and in my opinion, Iran's hostile attitude to the US and its poodles is at least understandable, even if you've got little truck with the ruling mullah's version of theocracy. You can go back even further, if you like, to the CIA MI6 coup of 1953, which reinstated the Shah, because the people of Iran actually went and elected a mildly left government that thought it would be a good idea to nationalise Iran's copious oil reserves, controlled as they were by Anglo-Iranian Oil, later to become BP, British Petroleum. Well, this is a fine example of the entanglement of state and corporate power, which none other than Mussolini opined is the economic essence of fascism. However, the bombing of an embassy of an enemy in a third country against international diplomatic conventions, and almost certainly against international law, is a new phenomenon, I believe, and will add another nail in the coffin of the notion of a rules-based order. And though this was always somewhat toothless and cynically applied, it did at least put the idea of some sort of necessary constraints on nation-states into the general discourse. All this does feel very, very dangerous, because Iran has publicly responded that they will retaliate. Israel, for its part, has not admitted to being the perpetrator of the attack in Damascus, but has not denied it either. In fact, it's kind of hinted that, yeah, we did it, but we're not going to admit we did it, in its inimitable fashion. Then the next move is that President Biden goes public and says that the US's support for Israel is, in his words, ironclad. And he repeats it to show he means it. So, if Iran does something, America will do something. There's more emotional maturity in a primary school playground. At the same time, Biden and Netanyahu are having a public spat over the ongoing genocide in Gaza. As we predicted in earlier podcasts, the genocide enthusiasts in the US political sphere, and in Europe and the UK, are getting queasy about how unrelenting the Israeli appetite for vengeance and collective punishment is, both on the part of a majority of citizens of Israel and the right-wing and its right-wing government. And as the world's streets insist again and again in their hundreds of millions that the whole scenario is well and truly beyond the pale. We predicted this too a while back, particularly with respect to UK Labour, who are now trying to creep back from their unequivocal Zionism in the hope that we'll forget how they gave the nod to genocide. Again, if you go back over our podcast, you'll find that I expressed an anxiety about escalation of fighting in the region. Here, I didn't exactly predict it, but it seemed to me that escalation was quite probable, especially as the Houthis were stopping shipping going to Israel via the Red Sea towards the Suez Canal, basically by attacking any ships headed for Israel ports with drones and missiles, or by capturing them. Then, of course, in their turn, they got bombed by the RAF and the US Air Force, who attempt to take out the infrastructure that allows the Houthis in Yemen to carry on with these attacks on Israeli shipping. The upshot is that it's a right mess, and the probability of catastrophic escalation now seems even higher. On top of this, there's been a grumbling, nasty, low-level war with Hezbollah on the Lebanon border, and consequently many Israeli villages and towns up in that northern end of Israel have been evacuated. There seems like a good probability that this scenario will intensify. And that seems to be the wish of the right-wing Israeli government. Turkey, as I mentioned the last time I considered this geopolitical situation, have now imposed sanctions on Israel. And just in case you missed it, the US is upping the ante in the Pacific, contra China, too. Nearer at home, and not unrelated, our horrible fascist mainstream media are indulging in insidious low-level propaganda nudges like, oh, you have to bring back conscription. We have to conscript young men into the army. Women too. It works for the Israelis. And I suppose that the underneath text is that the manoeuvre might make less identity obsessed citizens of them, these young men and women, in turn giving our genocide enthusiasts in Parliament a bit of traction with Daily Mail readers. The deteriorating geopolitical situation in all its horror is being utilised to nudge a sizeable demographic in a rightward direction on the back of a humanitarian catastrophe. And with possible consequences for pretty well ruining the lives of a whole generation of young people. Against this backdrop, Sir Keir Starmer, KC, leader of the so-called UK Labour Party, says that Labour will make sure we've got nuclear submarines at sea all the time when he's in charge. His new model party will decisively increase the percentage of GDP reserved for military spending with a nuclear deterrent and four dreadnought submarines as the basis, the bedrock of the whole thing. This saber-rattling horseshit is being uttered at the same time as these people are saying that there's going to be no money when they get into power for bringing the UK back from the brink of a rapid slide into barbarism, other than for maybe a very few crumbs from the table for a selected few. And the bookies are indeed suggesting that a Labour government is almost an inevitability given how terrible the Tories have been this last 13 years. At the same time, there is a tremendous amount of disillusionment with Labour, especially among factions of younger people. And if this can be mobilised and focused, there is at least a chance of a hung parliament, which might not be a bad thing. We'll see. I, for one, actually expect things to be even worse under Labour than it is under this monstrous lot of incompetent, narcissistic, fascist Tories. Because at least with the Tories, what you see is what you get. I mean, they wear their mean-spiritedness, their fascism and their deeply twisted souls right on their sleeves. But Labour pretend to be right on. They tend to be on your side. Yet they take the corruption of post-truth to another level, being completely bought by big money and the Israel lobby. At least those party members who are in the PLP. Most of them. I have to say, I detest them, and I was a member of that party not so long ago. Again, I'll be accused of being hyperbolic when I say that the Labour Party has pretty well gone full fascist. But I've examined this claim against my detailed criteria derived from analysis of historical fascism and remain convinced of this horrible proposition. Of course, they haven't taken the jackboots out yet. They've got their atrocious nature kind of concealed. But they're getting more and more brave about exposing themselves as they get an intoxicating whiff of power. The PLP more or less embraces Thatcherite neoliberal horseshit on the economy, even though it is thoroughly discredited by now. It was always the most ridiculous and stupid idea that anybody ever came up with anyway, insisting as it does that private is better than public as the ownership and administration model for natural monopolies. We now know empirically that this is not the case after 40 plus years of its application, resulting in a country virtually on its knees in most aspects of its being. You know what I'm referring to. Sewage in the rivers, food banks, child poverty, absolutely crumbling health service, crumbling still schools and education, worst pensions in Europe, social division, and so on and so on. And yet, dividends are doing quite nicely, thank you very much, and a lot of CEOs are getting massive bonuses while failing utterly to fulfil their brief of, say, delivering clean water, a clean environment in terms of its watery aspects, and proper disposal of sewage. They're not doing it, but they're still paying out huge bonuses to their executives and dividends to their shareholders, who in many cases are foreign governments. Work it out. There is no rationality here whatsoever. Again, a feature of fascism is the absence of rationality. At certain levels, at least. And this is why it does ultimately fail in catastrophe. Labour have no answers and have adopted a philosophy in scare quotes, which of necessity cannot address the situation, even if its senior party members were technically competent, which they are not. People will have to organise in their communities and workplaces simply in order to survive. Then perhaps we can work on general prosperity through mutual aid, cooperation and collective enterprises that supply the goods and services people actually need. I suppose my big takeaway here is that our great and good, our politicians and our fourth estate shouldn't be in the positions they occupy because they're not competent, either morally, spiritually, or just practically on the level of the techniques of running a modern society. They've managed to create only widespread insecurity and resentment, perfect conditions for fascism, which is already resident in their excuses for hearts and their post-truth minds, ready to project itself in an orgy of cruelty. Not only that, but they are all terrible authoritarians, even when, especially when, they espouse American libertarianism, which after all shills for the freedom to exploit other humans ruthlessly. This is what freedom means in that lexicon and in that term libertarianism. It has nothing to do with true liberty whatsoever. So, chaps, revolution or slavery, what's it to be? With that, I'm going to love you and leave you. Make knowledge great again.